We're turning tonight to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21 again. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. And the theme of the meetings this week has been the coming of the Lord. And that's a message that is applicable to both those who are saved and know the Lord, who belong to Him. We've been singing there about the Lord coming to gather His loved ones home. And all who are saved, this world is not our home. We shouldn't get too attached to it, because the Lord has got a home for us. And He's coming again. He's coming to gather all His loved ones home. And we've got to be ready, watching for the coming of the Lord. It's also a message applicable to those who are not saved, because when the Lord comes, it will bring in the end of time, and it will usher in the great judgment throne. And before Him shall all people, all men, shall be gathered before the Lord and give account of themselves before the Lord. And those who are not saved will be separated. And the Bible tells us that they'll be cast out into outer darkness. The coming of the Lord has an application and a relevance for every person, whether we be saved or whether there be those among us not saved. And we must hear what the Lord is saying to us in this chapter. The disciples have come to the Lord, and they have asked Him what will be the sign of His coming. And we've been taking a little time to look at these signs. We'll read from verse number 20. The Lord says, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And He spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see, and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Amen. And we know God will add his own blessing to this reading, to his own precious word, for his name's sake. Shall we bow together in prayer and let us commit our way to the Lord? Father, bless the reading of thy word tonight to each of our hearts. And we ask, Lord, as we come again to look at this momentous subject, that the Holy Spirit will open up the eyes of our understanding, and that he will impress the words of Scripture and the truth of Scripture upon each of our hearts. We ask tonight, Lord, that we shall each one be convinced that the coming of the Lord draweth near. And we pray, Lord, that each heart here tonight will be ready, whether it be in the need of salvation, or whether it be in the case of thy people, that, Lord, each one here tonight shall be ready for that great day when thou shalt come again. Speak to all our hearts. Open our hearts to thy truth. And may we be led by the Spirit of God into all truth. We pray in the Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. And I want to use the screen this evening as I did last night in order to help us as we come to look at this great subject of the Lord's return. And the Lord Jesus has been asked here by his disciples, what will be the sign of thy coming? And I want to emphasize tonight that the Lord Jesus did not rebuke them, nor did he deny the question that they asked. He made it absolutely clear that he will come again. Verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. It is a truth beyond all doubt. The Lord has established it, emphasizing it time and time again in the New Testament. It is the great hope of the church. It is the great truth that every child of God should be holding on to and looking for day by day. Verse 36, watch ye therefore. In other words, in light of this, watch. Be on the lookout. Watch ye therefore, and pray always. You see how the great truth of the Lord's coming is to be continually in the minds and hearts of God's people. And it is to prompt the people of God to pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. The Lord is coming. And he has given to his disciples signs that will come to pass first. All these things, we are to look for these things. We will hear of these things in verse number 9. When you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. We will hear of these things. And then in the verse number 31, we will see these things. So likewise ye, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is near at hand. There's things that we will hear and things that we will see. And the Lord has said these things, these events, will come to pass first. And they will be the signs that my return is not far away. And we've been taking a little time to look at these signs that the Lord has given to his people. The first sign that the Lord has given to us is that of natural disaster, natural calamities, the escalation of great calamity within the earth. Verse number 11, with the rising up of nation against nation, wars and commotions. And the Lord says in verse 11, and great earthquakes shall be in divers or different various places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Verse 26, men's hearts will fail them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. There's going to be a great commotion, a great upheaval, a great agitation, earthquakes, famines, pestilences will be escalated as we near the end of this age and the coming of the Lord draws near. There are signs in nature. And then we took a little time to consider the second sign, which is that of Israel. And we read of that there this evening. The Lord said, there will be distress in the land and wrath upon this people. This people. The people of Israel. The nation of Israel. And the Lord is saying, you must keep your eye on Israel and follow the footsteps of Israel down through the centuries of time, because what happens to them will be an indication of the Lord's return. It'll be a sign of the near return of the Lord. Then if you look there in verse number 24, the Lord says that this people will fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Israel, or Jerusalem, shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Not only is there a sign in relation to the nation of Israel, but there is a sign in relation to the Gentile nations, the other nations of the world. And we took a little time last evening to consider that sign, the rising up of a confederacy of nations that will be in existence at the end of this age when the Lord returns, the Gentile nations. And now tonight I want us to look at another sign. It's in that same verse, verse number 24, and it's found in the city of Jerusalem. Not only great earthquakes and natural calamities, not only a sign in the nation of Israel and a sign in the Gentile powers, but there is a sign also in the city of Jerusalem. And the word of God says, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Jerusalem. Now picture the background here. The disciples have come and they have asked the Lord, what is the sign of your coming? What are those events that will take place that will signal that your return is not far away? And the Lord said, keep your eye on great natural calamities. Keep your eye on the nation of Israel. Keep your eye on the Gentile powers. But also, keep your eye on the city of Jerusalem. Because what takes place in Jerusalem will indicate that the coming of the Lord is not far away. And so just for some moments tonight, I want us to consider this sign that the Lord gives here in reference to the city of Jerusalem. And you'll notice in the first place, in the passage that we have read, and we touched on this a little bit last evening. Let me just not race ahead too far, but see if I can get back. Here we go. First of all, in Luke chapter 21 and verse 20, we read there of Jerusalem being compassed with armies. The Lord said, when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. The Lord is saying to his disciples, the first thing that will happen in relation to Jerusalem before I return, the first thing that will happen will be that Jerusalem will be destroyed. And the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, will be scattered. Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies. Those armies will invade. They will destroy the city. Jerusalem will be desolate. Those who survive that invasion, in verse 24, shall be led away captive into all nations. What the Lord spoke of here has already been fulfilled. Verse 22, these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. And we looked at Deuteronomy and how the Lord said if Israel would depart from him and forsake his law, then God would allow a nation from afar to come as swift as the eagle and destroy the city, and they would be scattered into all nations. And in AD 70, that very nation came. The striking point of interest is that the nation that came had as its insignia the emblem of the eagle. And God said in the book of Deuteronomy, as swift as the eagle flieth, so will this nation come. A nation of fierce countenance and strange language. It will invade, surround the city. And there will be great famine within the city. And pestilence will break out. And there will be starvation and death. And then many will fall by the edge of the sword. And those who survive will be carried away into captivity. And Titus came with his armies and surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem fell, and the Jews were scattered from that point onwards. And ever since that time, Jerusalem was downtrodden, and the Jewish people scattered throughout the nations of the world, a wandering people. A wandering people. That's the first sign. Jerusalem will be destroyed, and the nation will be scattered. The Lord said, this will happen first before I return. I put it to you tonight. Has that happened? Has that already taken place? It certainly has. But that brings us, secondly, to the Gentile dominion in Jerusalem downtrodden. Verse number 24, Jerusalem shall be downtrodden, or trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Jerusalem is going to be controlled by Gentile powers, Gentile nations, Gentile rulers. And that, of course, is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, the great image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, dreamt of in the book of Daniel. Daniel interpreted that image. We looked at it last evening. The head of gold signifying the Babylonian Empire. The arms, the chest of silver signifying the Medes and the Persians. And then the belly of bronze signifying the Greek Empire. Then the legs of iron signifying the Roman Empire, bringing east and west together. And then the 10 toes, the final manifestation of that empire in the end times. And that's what the Lord is talking about here. The times of the Gentiles. These great Gentile powers that will rise up in succession one after another. And they will exercise dominion in the earth. And they will exercise dominion over the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be destroyed. The Jews will be scattered. The Gentiles will be in ascendancy, ruling over the city. But then the third point that we must note is the fact that Israel will be preserved through all of this trouble and eventually will return to their land. If you look there at verse number 32, the Lord said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And the word generation there is elsewhere translated nation. And so we can read it like this. This nation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Yes, there will be great adversity. There will be great affliction brought upon the nation of Israel. The days of vengeance, distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. Jerusalem destroyed, the Jews scattered. But the Lord said, for all this, this nation will not pass away. This nation will not cease to exist. They will continue in their existence. And we looked at Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 11, in which the Lord said that he will stretch forth his hand the second time. And that's very interesting. because Isaiah lived before the first Jewish captivity in the land of Babylon during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. And the people were brought back from that into their land. But Isaiah lived way before that, and Isaiah saw that there would be a second restoration. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time. This was even before the first restoration after Babylon. The Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and Cush and Elam and Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. God is going to stretch out to all those nations where he has caused the Jews to be scattered, and he will bring them again. And they will be established in the land. They will be restored to the land. They will come again to the land. They will enter again the city of Jerusalem. The Lord is saying, this is a sign. Keep your eye on Jerusalem. First of all, it's destroyed and the Jews are scattered. The Gentile powers rise up and exercise dominion. But through it all, the Jews will be preserved, and eventually they will be restored to their land. And in 1948, after the Second World War, the doors were opened for the Jews who had been persecuted throughout Europe by the Nazi regime. Those who survived were permitted to return to the land. And Israel was established as a state once again. But the Bible tells us something else that we must keep in mind. And it is this, that when Israel is restored and returned to the land, it will face a time of great trouble in the land. If you turn to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 30, Jeremiah chapter 30. In verse number 3, I want you to see the background here. It's in relation to this restoration of the people back to the land. Verse 3 of Jeremiah 30, "For lo, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." Notice the land was given to them by the Lord. And God says, I will cause them to return. But look at verse number 4. "And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it." This is a day that Israel has never experienced in all of her existence. "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them." When is this speaking about? It is speaking about a time when there will be a resurrection. "I will raise up David, their king, unto them." You come down to the last verse of the chapter. Verse 23. "The whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath done it, until he hath performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days,
He shall consider it. And that little phrase, the latter days, means the end of the days. The very last of the last days. That's the setting. We're brought here right to the end of the age. And God says He's going to bring Israel again into the land. But when Israel is restored to the land, Israel will experience a time of great trouble. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. And all faces will be turned into paleness. A time of fear. A time of trembling. You see, when Israel will be brought back into the land, Israel will not have peace and safety. Israel will exist in the land in fear and trembling and dread of their very life. Their faces will be turned into paleness. And I ask you tonight, have we not witnessed the fulfillment of biblical prophecy? Israel scattered, Israel preserved in their dispersion, Israel brought back to the land. And yet in the land that God gave to Abraham, promised to Abraham and their fathers, Israel has not dwelt safely. And every day the Israeli people live in fear and in dread for their lives. A time of great trouble. And this trouble will be caused by the nations, the Gentile nations. You turn there to the little book of Joel, the prophecy of Joel. Come to the end of the major prophets, and then you have Daniel, and then the prophecy of Hosea. And then you come to the little prophecy of Joel. And we read there in verse number 1 of chapter 3. Joel chapter 3 and verse 1. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there, for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Here is Israel restored to the land. And yet, back in the land, Israel is brought into a time of great trouble. Why is that? Because the nations will gather against Israel and against Jerusalem. And what will be the reason? What will be the issue? It will be the land. They parted my land. They divided up my land. And the nations of the world, the Gentile nations, will rise against Israel over the land that Israel occupies. Is that not significant to me? If you turn a little bit further in the Old Testament toward the end, you come to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah is the second book from the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 12 and the verse number 1. Zechariah 12. Verse 2, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. God says, watch out for this. Keep your eye on the city of Jerusalem. God will bring the Jews back. They will be settled, but they will not be saved. And the nations will rise up against them
over the land that God has given to them. And they will come against Jerusalem. And Jerusalem will be a burdensome stone. In other words, the nations will view Jerusalem as a problem that has to be sorted out. It will be a burden to the nations. But notice the warning. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. And there is a warning to every nation that will lift its hand against the nation of Israel. Why? Because God gave a promise to Abraham that he would make of him a great nation. And God said he would bless them that would bless them. Bless him, bless them that would bless Abraham's seed. And he would curse him that curses Abraham's offspring. And you can see how that carries right through into the book of Zechariah. God says, all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. There's a warning there for our own nation. And for our own leaders. That they should not dabble. They should not interfere. Regarding the land that God has given to Abraham and his offspring. For all who trouble themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. And you have the evidence of that, have you not? In the case of the Nazi regime and Hitler, who thought that they would purge their land of the Jewish plague. And where are they tonight? God's curse fell upon them. Look at chapter 14 of Zechariah. Verse number 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. I want you to notice the emphasis here. In the book of Joel, it is all nations. Chapter 12 of Zechariah, it's all the people of the earth. In Zechariah 14 and verse 2, it's all nations. You see, when Nebuchadnezzar came against Israel, came against the city of Jerusalem, it was the nation of Babylon. When the Romans came, was the Roman Empire. But God says now that all nations will be gathered against Jerusalem. And you can see here that there is a confederacy. The Bible prophesies that the nations which formed the Roman earth, the domain of the Roman Empire, will rise again in confederacy. We looked at this last evening when we considered that great image and the 10 toes which signify the last manifestation of this great Gentile power, beginning with Babylon and then the Medes and Persians and then the Greeks and then the Romans. And the Romans stretched the empire to its greatest extent. And here we have the full extent of the Roman Empire. In the year 117 AD, it was the greatest extent, starting here with Babylon, the part of the Babylonian Empire, and then moving to Assyria, and right down into Jerusalem, and then over into Egypt, and then coming up into what we know as Libya, and right along the top of North Africa, and over then into the western part of Europe, all the nations that straddle the Mediterranean. And God said in the book of Daniel that this empire, this confederacy of nations, would rise up from the great sea. And every Israelite knew that the great sea was the Mediterranean. And God said, these nations will rise up. And the last part of that, the final manifestation, they will give their kingdom in consent and in agreement, in a confederacy. And the Lord says that He's going to gather all these nations and they will come against Jerusalem. and were seeing it come to pass. Over the last 60 years, since the Second World War, the Western nations that formed the dominion of the Roman Empire have been brought together in union. And then in the last decade, the hand of friendship has reached out into Turkey, the eastern part of the Roman Empire. And now you can see their influence in the land of Iraq. And then you come down to North Africa, and you have Libya, and then you have Morocco and Egypt. And you see the turmoil that's going on at the moment, and the interest of the Western European nations as to what is happening in these lands. What is taking place? It's the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. These nations coming again together that formed the Roman earth, that formed the territory of the Roman Empire. And God said, keep your eye on Jerusalem. For when you see these nations coming together in confederacy, not by military conquest, but by consent and agreement, when you see that happen, when you see the nations of the Roman earth coming again together in union on the basis of agreement, motivated by trade and commerce, then keep your eye on Jerusalem. Because the day will not be very far away when they will gather against Jerusalem, and the issue will be the land. They will endeavor to divide the land. But when this happens, when you see this happen, then know that the coming of the Lord is not far away. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 3. When this happens, when the nations gather against Jerusalem, verse 3, then, at that time, shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Do you see what's happening? In that day, then, when the nations are gathered against Jerusalem, then shall the Lord go forth. Then shall the Lord return. The Bible tells us that he's coming to the Mount of Olives, the very place that he ascended from, the very place that he left the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel from. The Bible says, in that day, his feet shall stand in the Mount of Olives, and the mount shall be cleaved in two. It shall be divided in two. The king shall come. The Bible talks about a great shaking that's going to take place on that day. If you turn there back to the little prophecy of Joel again, Joel chapter 3, in the opening verses deal with the restoration and then the gathering of the nations against Jerusalem. When you come down there to verse number 15, we read these words, and I want you to notice this and see the connection with what the Lord has said in the New Testament. Joel chapter 3 and verse 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of Israel. There's going to be a great shaking of the heavens and the earth. If you move over in the Old Testament towards the end, to the prophecy of Haggai just before the book of Zechariah. I want you to notice this. Haggai chapter 2. And you can see the setting here in verse number 6 of Haggai chapter 2. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while. It's not far away. It's only a little while. And I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Look at verse number 21. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Do you see the consistency of the Bible's message? I will shake the heavens and the earth. Look at this. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. The confederacy. It doesn't say the thrones of kingdoms, but the throne, singular, indicating that these kingdoms that surround the Mediterranean, that populate the territory of the Roman earth, these kingdoms at that time will be brought again in confederacy, and they will have one dominion, one reign, one authority. And they will come against Israel. And the Lord says, I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one, by the sword of his brother. The Lord says, I'm coming again. I'm coming again. And when you go over to Matthew chapter 24, the corresponding passage with Luke's account, Matthew chapter 24, notice the comparison with what is said in the book of Joel. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, that's the great trouble that's going to come to Israel in the land when the nations gather against her. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Just what Joel said. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What did we read in our opening passage in Luke chapter 21, verse number 25? The Bible says there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Keep your eye on the city of Jerusalem, destroyed and the Jews scattered, the Gentile powers in ascendancy, the Israelites preserved and restored to the land. But whilst in the land facing a time of great trouble brought by the gathering of the nations against them. And on that day shall the Lord go forth. In that day shall the Lord return. And I put it to you tonight, that what the Bible says is coming to pass before our very eyes. Just like the Lord said. And the Lord said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Look up. Lift up your hands. For I'm coming again.
My return is not far away. So likewise ye, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. That stone that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, that stone that was cut out without hands, smote the image in its toes. And the Lord will destroy the throne of kingdoms, and he will establish his kingdom, and he will complete his great redemptive purpose, gathering in his people, redeemed by precious blood, and born again of his Spirit. The Lord is coming. And I can say tonight with absolute confidence that the Lord's return is nearer than it has ever been before. And every day is a countdown to the coming of the Lord. The Lord says, watch, therefore, and be ready. Be prepared. With a saving faith in him, having received him as Savior, and then living for him in light of his return. The Lord is coming, and in that day his feet will stand in the Mount of Olives, and every eye shall see him, and every knee shall bow to him, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's coming again. Make sure you're ready tonight. If you're not saved, then turn to the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. We're going to sing the hymn that we've been singing. It's 160. This is the theme hymn of our nation. Some glorious morning, sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning, all will be peace. Heartaches all ended, school days all done. Heaven will open, Jesus will come. 160, let's sing it with all our hearts, knowing that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. 160, standing as we sing.